The book of Malachi, and last week we looked at Malachi 3:1, and it was about a whole different subject. But this morning we're going to read Malachi 3:1 again, and I'm going to read the white, and you're going to read the yellow, and it's the Word of God, so you're going to read it really well, right? Okay. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me.
And the Lord will speak.
Will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight.
Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts.
Now see, I had the E yellowed and you didn't say it. All right. Don't you like that? Behold, he is coming, says the Lord. I love those words because they are words of hope that one day God's going to come and yank us out of all this and we can be with him for eternity. And, you know, as we walk through each day, these are the kind of words we need to remember, amen? These are the things we got to keep in front of our face because there's too many things that go wrong in life, too many things that we can get down about. But he says, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. I love those words because they're inspired. Says the Lord. So no matter what you say about inspiration, when he says, behold, he is coming, that's inspired by him. And so the words of Malachi gave to his Israelite readers the hope of the second coming of Christ coming after tribulation is over, but that doesn't help us. We're in the body of Christ. And yes, Christ is coming, but it's going to be in a different way for us than what Malachi would describe if he continued to describe it. Because they're coming, Christ is coming after the tribulation. You notice in there it says, and suddenly comes to his temple. Well, we don't even have a temple right now. And so there will be a temple built in Israel, and he will go into his temple. And as I looked at that this week, I thought, man, I just find it necessary to explain the coming, Christ coming in the air for you and I. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 24, if you have your Bibles. And while you're turning there, I want to ask this question. Don't you hate to wait? Man, it wasn't too long ago. I was in a line. I think it was a bank or something. And so I'm in this line waiting and waiting. Oh, it was a grocery store. And I know this sounds horrible, but I usually don't like to go in a line where there's a guy because they're not as fast as the women tailors. Amen, women? Yeah. So I got in. I saw this guy doing it. So I thought, okay, I'm going to move over to the lady. And the guy was faster. And so I'm watching all these people go through the line, and I thought, oh man, I got into the wrong line. You ever feel that way? And then you think, man, what a big waste. So you're talking, what, 10 minutes out of your whole life? But it feels like such a waste. So last month, Debbie and I went on vacation with a couple of family members, 6 adults and 5 kids. And we flew into San Francisco Airport, and went down to the baggage claim, got all the baggage, came to the outside on baggage claim door 6, and we sent a couple to go get the van because we had to get a 12-seater, right? And so they ran off to get the van, and so we sat and we stood and we paced, right? There's nothing worse than waiting for the rental car. And so, you know, we're talking and pretty, you know, we look and pretty soon we see these vans coming around the corner. And coming towards us, we think, hot dog, they're here. Let's get the bags. Let's get them out on the sidewalk. Oh, no, they stop, and the next couple by us get into the van and go. Okay, so we're still waiting, and every time a van, because we didn't know what color, we didn't know anything about it, we tried to call them and couldn't communicate. And so it was kind of like a little, you could see a corner where they were coming, and then there was a wall, and then as they came down, we could see them. And so every time we saw them go through that little part of the wall, we're thinking, that's it. Look at the van. That's a van. I think that's a van, right? And no, it's the parking lot. For all of you who fly, don't you hate those things? Always the parking lot. And so we watched over an hour We're standing there with the kids, trying to keep them entertained, keep them eating, you know, the whole thing. And finally, this white van comes around the corner and comes down, and we're like, I don't know, maybe this is it, maybe it isn't. Right? We totally lost hope, okay? And all of a sudden, he pulls up, and there it is, a brand new Ford 2018 12-seater. And when they pulled up, man, we crammed the suitcases into that thing, jumped in, and headed for Santa Cruz. And we were exciting, and as soon as that happened, it felt like we never waited. Isn't that the way it goes? It's like, oh, you know, man, we're heading there. We're making progress. You know, I looked at that, and I thought, it's the same thing as waiting for Christ for me. Might be for you. It's almost saying, you look around the corner, and you think, wait a minute, maybe this is the point in which he's going to come, and he's going to appear, and yet it's not him. And I've heard over and over people say prophecy is fulfilled, so we're already. And I think, well, no, there's quite a few things that aren't fulfilled. I mean, look, if we went back to that slide, we can't do it now. It says that Christ will walk in his temple. What temple? There is no temple. So that puts a little damper on it. And so, you know, I look at that, and so people claim and claim and claim and claim in the name of the Lord. And that it all goes by. And he hasn't come yet. Or we all miss the rapture. Don't think so. Okay. But one day, it will be Christ. And on that day, we're going to get caught up into the sky, into the clouds. And on that day, we're going to get a new body or a changed body. And we're going to be complete in him, totally complete in an experiential way. And so the scripture says, shall we ever be with the Lord? Now, that sounds good to me. Sounds very good. Turn with me to Romans 8, verse 23. So we have to ask the question, when Christ comes, what are we waiting for? And, of course, we know he's coming. That's one of the things we're waiting for. But we actually have two hopes. Did you know that? The first hope is that Christ is going to come. And, by the way, when the Bible uses the word hope, it means expectation of what's going to happen for sure. Okay? And so we have two hopes. I want to read this from 8:23 to 24. Not only that, but we who also have the first fruit of the Spirit, he's talking about us, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption, the buying back of our body. For we are saved in this hope. Oh, we do have two hopes. But when you think about it, it's all one. Because Christ comes back, our bodies change. So I think it's very interesting because in some senses, when we look at our physical body, it's kind of like rags and destitute, and we're going to get a new set of clothes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you don't know what I'm saying, look in the mirror. Right? I mean, every once in a while for Debbie, I do this. I just go, and she goes, oh, man, you look 10 years younger, you know. Well, why? Because we aren't what we're supposed to be. And we know that in our heart of hearts. We know we're not what we're supposed to be. I mean, from a physical point of view, a sin point of view, everything, it's not the way it should be. Do you ever feel that way? Shake your head yes or no. Okay. Oh, some of you don't. Okay. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2:1. That's our hope. We wait for Christ, and we wait for our bodies to be changed so we're comfortable in them. And it's right. Now, here's an exciting passage in Colossians while you're turning to 2 Thessalonians. Oop, wrong way. And I look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, and I wonder, it's a great encouragement to read this to me. Okay? And it says this, when Christ, who is his life, Oh, our life. Oh, thank you for that. For Christ, who is our life, appears. So are we going to be judged for our life? No, he has our life. He's our life. When Christ, who is our life, appears, here's the object of our faith, then you also will appear with him in glory. We will be gathered together with him in glory. Now, I've mentioned this, I don't know how many times from the pulpit, but we've talked about Moses when he's on the mountain. You know what I'm talking about? Most of you do. He's on the mountain. And Moses beefs up his intestinal fortitude and says, hey, will you show me your glory? Because God, Christ wasn't showing him his glory. And he says, you know what? I have compassion on whom I have compassion. And in other words, he's going to give Moses compassion. He says, but you can't see my glory because it'll kill you. So he said, what I'll do is I'll put you in a cleft of a rock and I'll walk past and I'll keep my hand over your eyes. And when I have passed, you can see the tail end of the glory. Okay? So Moses sits in there and God has his hand over his eyes and pretty soon he takes it away and he sees the descending glory of Moses. And when he comes down from the mountain, what's the problem? He shines. He has to wear a mask on his face because it's scaring the people to death because he's shining with God's glory just from the tail end of his glory. And we're going to see it all on that day. Full impact, Christ's glory, we're going to see. And that is going to be magnificent. That's what glory means. Splendor, beauty, wonder, grandeur. And you know, it's not going to go unnoticed. I don't think it's going to be unnoticed by the world. I think they'll all be glad we're gone. But I don't think it's going to be unnoticed. Titus says this, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think we've read enough verses to feel like this is what God's saying, right? We forget that the glory of his coming because of all the distractions in our life, all the things of waiting, and we can't have what we need, and we want this and want that. I get so sick of myself going to the refrigerator and looking in the refrigerator to see if I can find something that will make me feel good. And usually it has to have a little sugar in it. Right? But let's hear in our hearts our hope this morning, folks. Man, the reoccurring theme here is about his glory, his splendorous appearance, our hope being gathered together in his glory. And think about this, Jesus Christ, the Father, all the angels of heaven are continually in a state of magnificence, of beauty, of wonder, of grandeur, so much so that when Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about him going to heaven, do you know which passage I'm talking about? He says he goes into heaven, he comes back, and he won't talk about it. In fact, I think God told him, you don't tell anybody anything, because we probably start worshiping heaven, right? So at this present time, we wait. We wait. Come, Lord Jesus, but we wait. For a point in time in which Christ fulfills his promises to us that in that day when he comes and he'll gather us into the heavens and he'll take us and we will be with him forever. Forever. With our glorified bodies like his glorified body, remarkable in appearance. And according to the passage we just read in Titus, we will see all of his glory and we will be able to stay alive when we see it. So this morning, I want to quickly go over a few scriptures that talk about this event called the rapture. And if you're discouraged this morning, okay, and statistics are the half of you are discouraged, the other half are encouraged. Well, you guys that are in the half, encourage the other half. Okay? If you're discouraged this morning, take courage, because this is our hope. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Do you not know, remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Now, here's what happened to the Thessalonians. They were under a lot of persecution. You remember when we went through the first and second Thessalonians, and they thought God had come and gone and left them in the tribulation. And what does Paul say? Don't be shaken. Don't think that God's already come. He hasn't come yet. And so they were scared. They missed it. And we're going to gather together with him in his time, not our time. And you know, it won't be like I've had people come and tell me and call me on the phone and they're scared to death. And I say, what's wrong? And say, I can't find anybody in the house. And I thought maybe the rapture happened and God didn't take me. I'm serious. I've had calls like that. And I stop to think, don't you remember that you're going to go too, right? And don't act like that's never happened. So it won't be like finding somebody not being in the house and getting freaked out, that kind of thing. It won't be because you sinned that day just an hour before and missed the rapture because you got caught in sin. It's going to be because you ask Christ to be Lord, and the Holy Spirit has sealed you to the day of redemption, which is that rapture. Ephesians 4:13, whom, meaning the Holy Spirit, you are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's what the scripture says. And then, in a moment, in a twinkling of eye, it will be the real thing. Your faith will become reality. Your belief will be engulfed in joy. Doesn't that sound good? We'll be swept off this earth. We'll be thinking, it's over. No more sin, no more temptation, no more foolishness. So if you've trusted Christ as Savior and Lord in your life and you believe that he rose from the dead, this next passage applies to you. And if you haven't done that, I'll give you that chance at the end of the service. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. For many of you, this is really, because we've gone through this a couple times in Thessalonians alone, this will be a review. Some of you know, but you know, I think we need to rehearse this for the rest of you. This may be a first-time thing you're hearing. But it's our hope. It's our hope. Let's look. And let's rehearse the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant. I do not want you to not know, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And isn't that the truth? We just had a family that passed away, and I did a funeral, and I look at that, and we grieve, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope. When you get around people who have accepted Christ, for them, that's it. There is no more. For us, there is a future, right? I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the criteria, right? Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep or those who died in Jesus. So our souls and spirits will come together with Christ, and then our bodies will raise. He says, for this we say by the word of the Lord, so it's inspired, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede or go before those who are asleep, who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. That's why I don't think it's going to be a quiet deal. with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead, the body, our bodies in Christ, will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air. Meet the Lord in the air, sorry. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And so then he has verse 18, and I love verse 18. It says this, therefore, what? Comfort. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That means say it over and over and over and over so we'll keep our head straight on what our hope is. In other words, when Christ comes for us, we'll meet him in the air, we'll be changed, our bodies will be finally what they should be, and the word is perfect. It'll be perfect. Just like we yelled, it's the band, it's the band. Right? Seems pretty insignificant, doesn't it? And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to see my faith become reality, and I think it's the same for you. And even if you don't want to, you know, it's so funny because when I talk to people, they go, well, I want to get married first if they're young, and then pretty soon I want to have kids first. Well, then I want to have grandkids, and then after that, it's like, hey, bring it on. Right? 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's why we can't go to the kingdom, because we're in flesh and blood. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Getting excited about this? At what point are we going to simply trust in God? Are we going to trust his words? When he says he's coming, he says, by the word of the Lord, these things are said. He says it. And when he says that over and over and over, it's time for us to listen. And when he says comfort one another with these words, we need to keep comfort. Every time we get off the rails and get derailed, we need to say, hey, I want to tell you about the rapture. I want to tell you about our hope. And the hope is that he's coming for us. Imagine what would happen if we kept that in front of our mind all the time. After all, it's our ironclad hope. That we are temporary on this earth and that all of our shortcomings that we experience and see in ourselves and each other will dry up. And just maybe, in light of these words and what we've read, can we go ahead and forgive each other now for our weaknesses? Because they aren't going to be there once he comes. We're not going to have those. And so it makes a little, isn't it, make it a little bit easier to forgive? It's like, yeah, I can temporarily forgive. Because we all have weaknesses. We all have things we don't like about other people. There's things you don't like about me and things that you do like about me. You know what, on the things you don't like about me? Get over it. You know what I'm saying? Get over it. We love each other because Christ loved us. And I realize it's simply temporary. They will be cleared up and gone in a moment, and we will change in the twinkling of an eye, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, and it can be translated, who is Jesus Christ? Anybody ready? So our scripture for this morning said, behold, he is coming. Amen. Right? He is coming. Says the Lord of hosts. He's